right, and welcome to another episode of Two Guys, One Level, a place where two guys talk about all things gaming. I'm your host, Tortuga, accompanied by Pixel.
And welcome back, everyone, to another episode. A lot of big stuff happening this week. I think I'm going to go ahead and kick it off. Microsoft has officially completed their Activision Blizzard King acquisition. So, what does this mean? A lot. We'll start here. Phil Spencer has officially confirmed the merger, quoting him, "For the millions of fans who love Activision, Blizzard, and King Games, we want you to know that today is a good day to play. You are the heart and soul of these franchises, and we are honored to have you as part of our community. Whether you play on Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, PC, or mobile, you are welcome here and will remain welcome here, even if Xbox isn't where you play your favorite franchise. Because when everyone plays, we all win. We believe our news today will unlock a world of possibilities for more ways to play. Thank you for the ongoing support. We have so much more to come in months ahead. I'm excited for the future and cannot wait to share with you." So this is basically the culmination of, what is it, like a two-year journey?
That sounds right, yeah.
I want to say it did start somewhere in January of 2022. This is a pretty big deal. So the largest in video game acquisition that we have ever seen, rivaling even the Microsoft ZeniMax acquisition with Bethesda in there. So we're talking a couple major ones here, right? So these are the most popular ones that you'll probably find in a franchise. We're talking Call of Duty, Overwatch, Diablo, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and of course, under King, who can forget Candy Crush? But there are definitely much more that are under there. Microsoft has stated that they justified the purchase by revealing big plans to enter mobile gaming, and that's where King comes in. They hope to take advantage of a future regulation affecting Apple and Android that will allow Microsoft and others to open third-party stores in Apple and Android devices. That's very, very interesting, considering we also had covered a whole big thing of why Epic essentially went after Apple for the third-party store for Fortnite at the time. The deal itself has definitely faced a lot of criticism. There's definitely a lot of fears that game companies are taking on a lot of risk in consolidation. But there also has been a lot of support, and I've definitely been more on the support side. I think pooling the resources might look out, but as we say time and time again here, corporations are definitely going to cooperate. So I am a little concerned on that aspect. For the most part, Microsoft and Xbox have been relatively friendly to their consumers. The worst thing in recent memory is going to have to be those god-awful tiers that they have put for Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass moving forward. I think that actually just took effect this past September. Any thoughts, comments, concerns?
Well, I mean, I'm glad it's finally come to a close. I, for one, think it's not as big of a deal as the hearings made it seem. I've commented it many times throughout the process. All the reasons that they kept bringing up that Microsoft was now going to be the mega shareholder winning whatever majority of the profits in the gaming industry because of this acquisition, that never made any sense to me. I mean, the titles that they're getting are huge, right? World of Warcraft, Diablo, Overwatch, Call of Duty. Massive. Every time those games release something new, they have an immediate influx of revenue because they have a baseline fan base that will always purchase the latest version of that game. Always. Guaranteed, right? It's a guaranteed number. They know the number. They know how much they're going to make in sales. And then they always go beyond that because if the game is good, word of mouth then brings in additional purchases for those games, right?
Right.
Always. Yeah, it's always been the case. So I don't see how Microsoft owning these... What title does Microsoft have that's Microsoft?
Halo.
Exactly. No, for real. It's the truth. All they have is Halo. I'm sure they've might have released something else under one of their mini, huh?
Gears?
Sure. I don't know when the last edition of Gears came out, but yeah, Gears is also under there. But I mean, they have titles. When I'm talking about titles that they're still releasing, still updating, and still keep them up with. I don't know of anything outside of Halo. Yeah, they did Gears. They re-kicked the second trilogy, but it's not a yearly release. It's not even a every 4 year release. So them acquiring IPs that release at a regular interval, I think it's great for Microsoft, because now they're actually doing the same thing that Sony does. They now have IPs that release regularly that now have a baseline of people that are going to purchase those games no matter what. I can't sit here and tell you that these IPs are greater than Sony's IPs. I would have to do some deep research and pull up the numbers to see if these IPs indeed bring in more revenue than Sony. But even if they did, and even if they don't, it still doesn't give Microsoft more than 50, 60, or 70% of the gaming market share. That's not what's going to happen. So I never understood the basis for preventing this merger. I can understand Sony saying don't do this, because now their 30% cut is gone. It's going to be whatever they agree with Microsoft. And I don't see Microsoft being as generous as Activision Blizzard was. I know they'll honor whatever was in place, but for future titles, I can't see Microsoft doing that without getting something in return from Sony. Now, if they bring in titles like Spider-Man or God of War like that, just to be playable on the Xbox, not necessarily a Game Pass like release, but just to be playable, or even on just PC, if they can convince them enough to put it on Steam, you know, just something that is accessible outside of just a PlayStation ecosystem would be a huge win. And I honestly feel that these decisions are ultimately in order to get these locked games that Sony has under their portfolio released to more of the public. At least that's what I hope is the ultimate outcome of this, is that now that Microsoft is like, we have some awesome titles I'm sure you would love your PlayStation players to get, how about we work something out? I would love for that to be the ultimate goal.
I cannot even imagine them entertaining that idea, which is unfortunate, because I think it would be amazing for maybe an app, maybe a web browser, right, on the PlayStation itself, to do like xCloud on the phone. I don't know what kind of support or coding or networking would be needed for that, but ultimately it would be a win for the players, like guaranteed. All they're going to do is get access to more games, and they don't even have to get another console for it. You know, right. It might be rough on multiplayer games, but even so, the xCloud network runs really, really well. I tested out Halo 5 on cloud, and that worked really well. I tested out Halo Infinite as well when I did have the Game Pass Ultimate, and there were some frame rate issues, but overall it was a decently pleasant experience. So it would be beneficial, especially if people are, you know, concerned, well, Sony specifically, but we might look out. So we mentioned a couple episodes ago that Jim Ryan stepped down as CEO for Sony America. There is a temporary CEO in place, but no words on a new one. And Jim Ryan did see the release of PlayStation 1 through PlayStation 5. So it's about a 30-year career for him. And he was the one who was pretty adamant on kind of stonewalling Microsoft in a lot of things. So I'm curious to see what Sony's going to be like moving forward.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a solid point to make, because if he was always the one saying no, and there were others on his team like for it, and he would just veto everything and say, nope, not going to happen. It would be curious to see if that was the case this entire time, right? And then now that he's no longer in the picture, are we going to get an easier time to get access to certain IPs, or just to have a more cohesive gaming community, right? Because that's it's always been PlayStation versus Xbox. Even though there's other things out there, the only two going head to head, the hardest, was always PlayStation versus Xbox.
Yeah, it's terrible, terrible fan bases on both sides.
Agreed.
It should, you know, like for example, just, to kind of keep into this and putting it along, Sony actually announced that there is a PlayStation 5 Slim model set to come out, I want to say for this holiday season, if I'm not mistaken. The PlayStation Slim models, they're going to be about, I think like 30% smaller is what we're talking. So 30% in volume and weight by estimation seems to be about 20%. So it is going to be a new revamp to the consoles. And on top of that, something that they're kind of throwing on there is they're going to also be selling a Blu-ray drive for the digital versions, right? Because you have the disc version and the digital version. So they're also going to be marketing the Blu-ray drive. So if you do have the digital version only for, you know, whatever reason, you can go ahead and purchase the Blu-ray disc drive at a later date. Again, for whatever reason, maybe you want to pick up some used games at a cheaper price. You don't want to spend the money on the upgrades, but that's going to be like an additional $80 or so. So we are going to be seeing these newer models here this coming November, so just next month. And they did confirm on PlayStation blog that once the current PS5 models are sold out, the only models that are going to be available for purchase are this new Slim model.
Interesting. I think I've seen images. It looks strange. It looks like a silo with a garage next to it, attached to it.
You are not wrong at all, but they've always looked like that. You know, with the whole Seto Kaiba collar setup that they got going on here.
Yeah.
It is going to be $4.99 for the disc version, and then $4.49 for the digital. And then at a later date, I don't think it's going to be available at launch, you can get that Blu-ray. So like just this has already sparked, you know, to kind of circle back, just this has already sparked a console war on this as well. There was also something else that started a console war, and I unfortunately am having a tough time remembering the developer, but they mentioned something that we have touched on here several times, where developers do enjoy working with Microsoft as a whole, like for the most part. It is not some, you know, trade secret. Microsoft is just very open to letting developers, for the most part, kind of do their own thing. The biggest gripe, and it's a newer game, and I can't remember it. I'm annoyed because I definitely wrote it down. But essentially, they wrote the same thing. It might have been Larian, now that I think about it. Where they were complaining about, making games for Sony, and making games for Xbox, pleasant experience for the most part. But with Microsoft on the Xbox, it is a chore and a half to develop games for the Xbox Series S. And it falls back. Apparently the CPU is fine. The issue that the developers are running into is with the GPU in the Series S, where it's just, right, it's just not as powerful, and apparently it has less memory. I completely forgot about that portion as well. So it makes developing the games relatively a nightmare. And that I also saw that particular discourse pop up, again, just fueling the console wars.
Yeah, I mean, it's always unfortunate when you have a bottleneck that you're causing. And I have seen, I think I even brought it up, where developers are forced to make the game run the same both on the Series S and the Series X, which makes it incredibly difficult, like you said, because of all the hardware limitations. And I don't think that's the way to go. I've said it before, it makes a lot more sense for them to optimize the game for Xbox Series X, like maximum output, maximum performance. Like you're getting 100 frames per second steadily all the time, you know, and it's seamless and smooth and barely any issues. And then you have the Series S, which is a lot cheaper, capped at 30, 40, 50, 60 frames a second. And you have all these hard, because of the hardware limitations, right? You want to preserve it. You want to make sure that it still runs smooth, but you're not going to get that nice, crisp 100 frames plus gameplay because it's the Series S versus the Series X. And I feel like if they navigate that, a lot of, especially in the gaming community, gamers, for whatever reason, are drawn to buying the bigger, better, or faster hardware or whatever product to get the ultimate performance, to get, you know, the best experience in gaming. So I feel like if they've just leaned into that, because that is the case, the Xbox Series X is going to outperform the S by a long shot, but they're holding back the developers to make them both run the same, I think that's a dumb call.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. And the thing that I can see it from Microsoft's perspective, right? They want to have that accessibility for their consumers. But it is such a strain that I don't know how it's going to be like in the long run. If the developers feel like they're putting out an inferior product, then is it going to even be worth it? Because I want to say the biggest difference in gaming between the Series S and the Series X is going to be 4K. I think the S does 4K video, but only 1080p gaming, where the Series X can do potentially 4K on both. Right. I hear nothing good about the Series S and X OS. Apparently it's, you know, really really seamless. The game switch is also something that people are still using, that they promoted a lot, but overall the developers and the consumers are going to be the ones who suffer the most. And then with that, you know, Microsoft is probably going to take a look at the numbers, maybe start axing things here and there. It's just a vicious cycle that seems to be trending downward.
Yep, super unfortunate, because we've said it, it's covered. It's Microsoft has the better hardware compared to Xbox Series X and the PS5 regular. It's no secret. And I really wish that they wouldn't cap their systems, because what ends up happening, and we see time and time again, are people saying, what's the point of getting the Xbox Series X with the quote unquote better hardware when the PlayStation 5 is getting better performance results on, you know, top AAA, quadruple A games. And it's, I think that's a valid point. It's something that Microsoft is, they're shooting themselves in the foot and then losing the race. It doesn't make any sense when they could just let the beast of a console that the Xbox Series X already is, because the components in there make for a fantastic personal computer build, right? We're not talking about super cheap parts. We're talking about solid equipment that was top of the line before the 40 series came out on the NVIDIA side. It was pulling the same numbers as the top 30 series, and people forget that. And I remember when those numbers came out, I was flabbergasted that we were on par with PC gaming. And then a month later, NVIDIA's like, oh, by the way, the 40 series is coming out, and now we're twice as fast again than the consoles. I mean, yeah, than the consoles. But still, to run as good as a 30 series PC optimized is still fantastic.
So with the whole Microsoft thing, it's going to be, it's like you said, they're just going to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't know how they're going to remedy any of this, but this acquisition isn't going to mean much if they're going to take these games that they're putting out, because I don't think we're going to see anything till about 2027, maybe.
Nah, come on. 2024, at least something on Game Pass. Maybe even if it's the old stuff.
Well, the old stuff has already kind of been leaking. You know, they threw a couple Call of Duty games out there. Yeah, even the latest one, what is it, Modern Warfare 3, that's not going to be on Game Pass. They already came out and said that. That's still going to fall under the same ecosystem. And but, you know, you have Crash Bandicoot, you have Spyro that you can probably get away with the 1080p. But as we start getting into more complicated things like Call of Duty, we don't want to give Sony to have a reason to be like, oh, you know, I told you, you're giving us the inferior final product. So that's...
Well, great, because all Microsoft had to say is, no, we're just giving you the Xbox Series S version.
Crying. Okay. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what comes up from there. I do have something for you, which is a relatively weird piece of news. But as we all know, we have CEO of Activision currently, Bobby Kotick, however you pronounce it. He's going to remain CEO until at least the end of the year. But there was an internal employee meeting that had James Corden there for some reason, the late night host. I think it's like the chubby dude with like the Australian accent.
No idea who that is.
He does. He's famous for the carpool karaoke. Ah. It's like, yeah, that guy. So apparently he was there for some reason. But in there, Bobby was actually mentioning the Microsoft acquisition. And he said one of the things that that would not be possible without the different types of resources is the reemergence of Guitar Hero. That it is very, very likely that with having the extra resources from Microsoft, we can see a reemergence of games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band. That would be fantastic to see, because you do have some pretty hardcore Rock Band fans out there, even today. The only thing that I think would be an issue is, have we gone past the era of peripheral gaming? It has not had the greatest run. You think about the Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I think it was like 5 or something, that came with that fake skateboard for you to do some tricks on. There was Disney Infinity, there was Skylanders, DJ Hero. Donkey Kong had one with the bongos. You know, like, is that something that can still come to fruition and succeed in today's market?
So here's the thing. That market is far from dead. However, we have to recognize that that market is on fire in Japan still. Always has been, always will be. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to also throw in there things like DDR. All versions, all styles of it, Dance Dance Revolution, even though I guess there's no real peripherals anymore, but before you used to at least have the bands. But I throw that in there because to me, it's the same concept. They still sell really well in Japan. They're still a huge fan base, way larger than the US. So that's something that should be explored, right? Why is it so much more prevalent in Japan than it is in the US? Is there something that they're doing to their games that we can implement when we bring it back? Is it shinier? Is it because their music is just better that you get to play along to? Like, what is it? Like, there has to be something there's that you can identify as to why that genre excels over there versus over here. Because we have to remember that Rock Band 4 did come out, 5 or 6 years ago now? But there was a longer gap at the time between 3 and 4, and it did not sell as well as anticipated. I want to say it took them a long time to recoup their money, longer than they wanted, and it lost steam just as fast as it was hyped up. So it was already brought back. And if you go now onto like something like Twitch or YouTube and just look up people playing Rock Band 4, the numbers in the triple digits at best. So it's definitely, I would love for it to come back. You know this, I am a hardcore fan of peripheral gaming. I got the DJ Heroes, I got all the Guitar Heroes, all the Rock Bands. I was here for it, and I still am. I even bought Rock Band 4, even though I barely had any time or coordination to play that game, but I bought it because I love those series. They were fun, and to me, they are still fun. But to say that they're popular enough to like kill it in the gaming market, I don't know. It's not in the US at least. So if it is explored again to be brought back, I hope they try to figure out why it sells so well in Japan than it does in the US, and try to figure out what can we copy, what can we implement to get it as good, if not better, which I doubt, but if it can, I mean, go for it, than what's going on in Japan. But if they figure it out, I'm all for it.
I'm going to be with you there. I wonder if cost is a thing, because what's it running for now? Like $250, $300?
When it first came out, the set was $400. That was one of the biggest reasons why nobody bought it when it first came out. Because that's a steep-ass price. $400? Are you kidding? That's an entire console, and this is just one game.
Right.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have to dial that back if they're going to want more people to purchase it. But if you wanted to, you could have gotten Rock Band 4, just the game. And if you had your old guitar, you would have been fine. But if you wanted the new drums, because I believe the drums weren't compatible, if I remember it, you needed to spend the full $400, because that was majority of the kit was the drums. That big-ass box was the drums. So that's another thing to consider. Yeah, price would, you know, is a huge factor, especially in Rock Band. And I know Guitar Hero 4 brought in drums, but I feel like if they cut that and went back to the roots of just guitar for Guitar Hero, right, which makes sense, they can save a lot of money, at least in the consumer part and on their manufacturing. So that's an avenue to explore as well.
Yeah, I want to say it was Guitar Hero World Tour.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And, you know, I actually remember they also had issues with licensing. You know, I think Rock Band 1 and 2 had an amazing set list. So the once like those, well, that particular era was riddled with licensing issues. And I do remember that. But they were, I remember they did, you were able to buy like Rock Band 1 and 2 songs separately. It just kind of sucked because I think a lot of what was available didn't let you carry over stuff you bought from 1 and 2, if I remember right.
Yeah, there were, it wasn't, I wouldn't say a lot, but there was a good handful that you couldn't pull into 3 or 4 because Rock Band no longer held those rights to redistribute those games, even though, you know, you already purchased it and those industries were already paid for that license. The fact that they had to remaster it and re-encode it for the new version treated it like an entire new deal. So that was there, and it will be a challenge when they redo this, working with the music industry, because the music industry is not the friendliest industry to work with. They're all about getting paid immediately. You know, they want instant revenue for their creative rights and what have you. So they do not play nice if they're not making a buck, and a big buck at that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially with this era of streaming, you know, it's basically the whole reason we had the recent strikes with the Screen Actors Guild and the writers. That's also something that's going to have to get taken into consideration. Like, are the publishers going to want to share any of that revenue with any of those songs? Like, is it going to be a flat rate, or are they going to want residuals after?
I remember right, it was a flat rate per sale, and then the residuals were for anyone that were included in like the base game set. I think got residuals from future Rock Band sales with Rock Band 4, and then anything purchased in the Rock Band store, they got a small cut of that for each sale that they made. And it's a lot to manage. And can, Can you imagine how much they're paying for those servers, for those databases, for those songs? And there's only 800 people a month playing the game. It's I can tell you that's not a great return on investment. I guarantee it.
Right. And that's, you know, ultimately, you know, these people want to make money. So it's like, is it even going to be like worth it? You know, at what point do they say no?
I agree with you. I think if they can figure out to make an esport out of Rock Band 4, dude.
The only, so you have the points, you have your stars, you have your gold stars. I can see how they can try to do something with the instruments, but man, for a singer, like, how do you rate that?
I mean, they just have to hit the note on the song, but there are modes where you compete with other bands, but it essentially is your band plays the song and you're just competing versus the leaderboard at that point. So the better that you, what is it for? Yeah. Better you four do means a higher score. And then that ranks you with that one song, with that one track, you know, how well did your band perform against other bands? And I remember there was like a clock, like a, there was a set that you had like a week or so to play them all, to rank yourself. And that was their competitive mode essentially for Rock Band 4 with the band.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's all we can really do is wait and see. You know, that's, we're still in the wishful thinking portion of anything. You know, we're talking about a CEO that's about to step down, talking about the reemergence of new games or of older games. But that's something that I expect with this merger. You know, there are a number of franchises that haven't seen anything new in a very, very long time. Spyro coming to mind immediately, only because Crash Bandicoot ended up getting a brand new game. Is it like About Time or something like that? So it's God, I wish I could word today. I would say it's something that to keep in mind that we very likely are going to see a lot of older games either be remastered or remade, or even, you know, get sequels is going to be my wish here. Specifically, it's going to be Prototype for me. We have Prototype 1 and 2 that are out. Those were under Activision. So I wonder if we'll be able to get some wild open world game in the world of Prototype to see a sequel for 3, whether it's the protagonist from 2 or it's a brand new one, what have you. They've both been in New York City. Maybe take it somewhere else.
That would actually be a really cool game to see brought back, because Prototype was fun. It was incredibly entertaining. The story was good. The graphics are great. The fighting was great. And this was an era where games were fully completed before they were released. And, you know, you got to explore, destroy, and have an actual great story as you were figuring out what was happening to the world and how was your character a part of it, which was great. And it was a great story that unfolded. And I remember enjoying, and it was difficult. It was all still challenging, even when you were essentially becoming overpowered as the story progressed. The bosses that you came across were pretty good and pretty strong. Could you imagine something with all of that tied into a Souls-like ecosystem now of type of fighting, you know, that level of stress when you're playing a game as open world and that you can explore as Prototype? That sounds fantastic to me.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I hear what you're saying, man. I agree. We're talking 2009, I believe, for Prototype 1. And it was really good. It looked great. The running parkour system was fun. The combat was fun. The different abilities that you would get. And like Tsutsugu mentioned, like, it was just challenging enough where you might have to try a couple times, but it didn't make you want to rage quit that instantly. Even on the higher difficulties, there were the story was great. The voice actor I thought was phenomenal. If I'm not mistaken, is actually the younger guard from The Green Mile. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Long time ago.
Yeah, it's probably too long for you. It's a very, very long movie. So
I remember. I don't think I completed it.
Yeah. So, but whoever, like the younger guard that was with him, I believe that's the voice of Alex Mercer in Prototype 1. But, you know, I would like to see a reemergence of a lot of these old games. You know, they saw a lot of success with the remakes of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. Maybe they can try their hands at a new one. I mean, I don't want these IPs to collect dust. And the other side of this is this type of conversation annoys me personally, because people praise Sony for the studios that they work with when they're not even part of the Sony ecosystem. You know, they're not, you know, first party Sony devs like yet. You know, they might buy them down the line. Naughty Dog comes to mind. Bungie comes to mind, because they did a lot of exclusive stuff for Destiny for PlayStation. And then, you know, they just bought them recently. But one of the things that annoy me is people praise Sony for their ability to work with these developers and, you know, say, hey, you know, that's why Sony makes great games. but now that Microsoft is purchasing, they're just purchasing them, like they never worked with them before. You know, Microsoft doesn't make, you know, great games. Well, that's what they're trying to do. And now people are, well, console wars mainly, the fanboys are saying that, you know, it doesn't make it, you know, it's not the same because they're purchasing the developers rather than building them up from the ground up.
Right. Oh, my turn? Yeah, I think it's dumb. I think it's absolutely stupid that the way that it's split that way. It's praised when Sony does it and then condemned when Microsoft does the exact same thing. We brought it up many a times where even when Sony was trying to stop this merger, we kept saying, why is Sony trying to stop Microsoft from doing what Sony does on a daily basis? Never made sense. It's only okay when I do it, but now that you're trying to do it, this is unfair. It was a horrible time, and it just brings to light how crappy Sony is, which sucks, because outside of gaming, I really enjoy a lot of their other products, because they have their hands in a lot of stuff when it comes to the electronic section. And it sucks that they play like crap in the gaming section. So I don't know. It's very conflicting to appreciate some of their products and then hate the way they operate in the gaming sector. I don't know. I've always been conflicted. But Microsoft is doing their damnedest to even the playing field, and I'm here for it, right? Everything that everyone loves PlayStation for, there's no reason you can't love Microsoft for, because they have the exact same playbook now.
Right, exactly. The next thing that just very, very minor, you know, we have the Meta Quest 3 is coming out soon.
I didn't know it was coming out. I thought it was just announced.
I want to say the release date was given, but I'm going to have to double check now. No, I'm pretty sure it's already on.
Maybe Facebook said, yeah, it's coming out in 2 months. Enjoy it.
I'm pretty sure this is exactly what happened. It's already on Amazon for purchase.
Wow, that's wild. I mean, I have the 2, but the thing is, I don't use it that much. It's cool. Like when you set it up and you play these VR games. The game that I played the most was what's it called? Beat Saber. Yeah. But there were some other ones that I played, and you know, it's trippy. Yeah, I lost my balance a few times. The technology is pretty good about recognizing when you're reaching the wall or some other furniture or objects. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty reactive and pretty accurate. It lets you know, like, you know, when you're going to collide. And you know, I did have a few headaches the first few times that I tried it, because it's completely tripping your senses when you're fully absolved into it. So I like the concept. I think the headset is incredibly heavy, and you have to buy some absurd products to kind of help counterweight and offset the how heavy it is on your head. I think it's insane that we have to purchase so much, and the battery life is garbage. You still have to be plugged in to play for more than an hour or two. But again, I love the idea of VR, but I still don't think it's perfected enough to make this a series. I feel like, I don't know. I have to see what they're going to include with the version 3 to see what they're changing, but I feel like they're not changing much. They might have improved the battery life a little bit. If they didn't make the headset lighter, yeah, it's not a worthy purchase. So I'm gonna have to wait and see once it releases and see these comparison videos to see if it's even worth the upgrade. But if it reduces the price of the two, I think it'd be worth to purchase the two at least.
Nice. I'll keep that in mind then. Last thing I had is gonna be that we've been in the rumor mill for a very long time now. And one of the things that I have people up in a nice tizzy is Grand Theft Auto 6. As we all know, it's been rumored. There have been speculations. So more recently, thanks to our boys over at Reddit, apparently that we found out that the Australian government declassification website has unveiled a Grand Theft Auto 6 rating. Now, it is currently just a placeholder. People need that clarification right away. For them, they it's rated. The placeholder is MA 15 plus, where we know most of the previous installments have been MA 18 plus. But with the government's putting out something official with this, it's definitely leading people to see that the previous rumors of having a trailer by the end of Q4 seems more and more likely.
Has Rockstar really never confirmed that GTA 6 is in the works?
Yes, that it's in the works, but nothing about a release date.
Gotcha. I was gonna say, I could have sworn Rockstar made a statement when that first video, 20-minute video gameplay was leaked, where they put out an announcement saying this is not how we wanted you guys to find out. To me, that was confirmation that, yeah, GTA 6 is in the works. It's definitely coming.
Right. So it's not just that it's in the works, but that we're going to get an official trailer for it.
Oh, yeah. Eventually. Of course.
Right. It's fueling the internet that we're going to get something soon.
Okay. Because it made it sound like Rockstar never confirmed that GTA 6 even existed. And I'm like, that's not true. They definitely confirmed that the released video was GTA 6. I'm here for it. It's been 13 years or something ridiculous like that. It's time. So by the time if something comes out soon, it'll probably be another year or two before we actually get something once the announcement's made.
Indeed. I'm ready for a new Grand Theft Auto. I think it's time.
It's been time. Anytime that they have time to make a remaster of a game, it's going to release.
Bro,
the next version.
We have three generations of games. It was 360, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. We have those at 6th, 7th, and 8th gen. Is that where we are? I think that's what it is.
And they could have, yeah. If you have time for a full remaster, you have time for the next version. I'm sorry.
And another thing that was mentioned on this is actually that there's the potential that their Rage engine is getting an update, which is supposedly going to revamp the game. The game experience from weather systems, improved day and night cycles, and just overall better AI. And that's going to be it for me.
All right, dude. I think that's going to be it then for us. I don't have any other major news aside for that Microsoft stuff. That was really the biggest thing that has happened since our last episode. So in that case, I'll go ahead and sign us out. Thank you all for hanging out with us yet another week. Let us know what you thought of this episode, any previous episodes, and what you'd like for us to discuss at any future episodes at Two Guys One Level on Twitter. Definitely check our link in the description below for access to all of our other content. Again, thank you all for hanging out with us, and we will catch you all next time. Until then.